to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And folks, stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Joining us now on the hotline from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network analyst Doug Deacon. Deke, how are you?
Doing fine. Just a beautiful rainy day in Cleveland.
Another day in paradise in this winter or muck that decides that it will not end for us here. But we do have some beacons of hope on the horizon. The draft a little over 1 month away. And Deke, as we get closer to this draft, do you have a sense of how you think things are going to go for the Browns early, specifically at position number four? For example, in the mock drafts Vic and I just did, I have the Browns taking Jadeveon Clowney. And if you weren't there, I think they would go with a Mack or a Robinson or Matthews, someone on the line. And Vic has them taking Derek Carr at number four as of today.
Well, you know, I think they need impact players, you know, obviously on the offensive side. You know, it's all going to depend who's gone ahead of him. But I would, Clowney kind of scares me because attitude maybe. You know, the one thing about Mingo is, you know, Mingo's, you know, he's going to play hard for you. Yeah, he's got, you know, a ways to go because he needs to build up his strength and everything. But, you know, the kid has got a great motor and he goes hard all the time. So, I don't think, you know, the outside linebacker is a big need going into it. You know, wide receiver opposite, even though they got Hawkins, opposite of Josh Gordon, I think would be a big plus. And, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, it's interesting now that, you know, Bortles seemed to have a pretty good pro day. And then you throw in Derek Carr, impress some people. So, you know, it's a case of will they be moving up from that first, second round pick after they use their first one?
Yeah, Doug, and it is going to be interesting because I think Clowney, as much as you could talk about the Browns with the fourth pick and the two number ones, and we were just talking with Mel Kiper of ESPN about this, about how much they can impact and influence everything that unfolds in this draft because of maneuvering or whatever they do. But to me, it does start with Clowney because of, you know, when you're out of the quarterback discussion or in the quarterback discussion for the Houston Texans. If they didn't go with Bortles there, and then the guy you would think makes the most sense would be Clowney, all those risks associated with it. But if they don't, then it becomes that real wild card to me because you could see him conceivably, you know, Nathan has him at the fourth pick, and I think that's, you know, fascinating to think that he could go even that low in the first round. But it tells me that the maneuvering for other teams who would want to jump ahead of the Browns, want to
sure.
jump ahead of maybe Jacksonville,
oh, yeah.
right, to get
it'll
to
be
him.
It'll be a seller's market if he's not gone.
Right. Trade down possibilities certainly do abound. We've also been talking about the offensive line. Wanted to get your take on Paul McQuist and his signing and what that means, if anything, for the draft plans of the Browns this year.
Well, I think it just replaces a body they lost, and you know, Sean Laval gives them some flexibility, his ability to play a couple positions. But I still think that they need to look at, you know, at a guard in the draft. I'm, you know, and I've said it a couple times. I still want to see what Chris Faulk can do because he was a guy that you know they had high regard for until he had the knee injury. So you know, that's one of those unknowns, but. I do think they need to pick up a guard that, you know, can run so they can, you know, get the ball outside.
Doug, do you remember as much conversation about pro days as this offseason?
No, not really. you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, the whole system is changing. In the old days, you know, the scouts used to be guys that were former coaches or something that just retired or, you know, a bunch of old guys kicking tires. But now you got a bunch of young guys that are going out there and gathering information that, you know, want to be GMs are a little more aggressive and a little more hungry, I think. And I think there's a lot more scrutiny on the ball players than there used to be.
Do you think, though, what in your just knowing what you know about pro days, how valuable are they really? And does that value equate with the media hype that surrounds them, in your opinion?
I don't think it equates to the media hype. I think, you know, the media just has something to write about on that day because, you know, we go back to, you know, what a guy does on tape or, you know, in a game is a lot more important because, you know, it's like going to 7-on-7 drills. You know, guys look great. You know, I've played with quarterbacks, Paul McDonald. He was all pro in 7-on-7, but when people started flashing in front of his face, it was a different story. So I think, you know, those are the things and that pocket presence, if you're looking for a quarterback, that, you know, you have to see. You know, like you look at a Tom Brady, you know, what did he run, about a 6 flat 40? But the guy is, you know, he's probably one of the best that's ever played the game. So there's things that, you know, you might look at the pro day and you think it's a negative. But then when you put the tape on and you watch the guy playing a game, you say, well, that doesn't really matter. This guy gets the job done.
Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, the most, well, it's been a couple of prominent guys who have been late additions to the open market, and they didn't stay in the open market for very long. Michael Vick and then DeSean Jackson from Philadelphia, they end up with the Jets and the Redskins respectively soon after their releases from the Philadelphia Eagles. A third player who has the same agent as those guys, Joel Siegel is the agent, the player Chris Johnson, and you've watched a good deal of him from Tennessee. His agent is saying that he's not long for Tennessee, but what do you see in Chris Johnson now, some of the disappointment of this past year, maybe some questions? I mean, at one point this guy was thought of as, you know, the elite, the most explosive running back in the game or right up there in that conversation. Where do you see his future? And I don't know if this is necessarily Browns related, but just NFL related.
Well, you know, I think, you know, a guy with speed is great, but then you take the pounding in the NFL and the depreciation on the body and, you know, you start to wear down. And he had that, what, contract thing a couple of years ago, and he was hurt 1 year. You know, and I'm not sure that, you know, he's obviously is a guy that, you know, when he's healthy and 100%, he's a great ball player. But I'm not sure if, you know, the wear and tear of the NFL has not started to, you know, get to him. He's not a, you know, Earl Campbell type back that can take that pounding.
Doug, with no news being, I think, good news on the Alex Mack front in the sense that no team has come forward, what are your expectations for how this will ultimately play out, and when do you think Alex Mack will sign his tender to come back?
He'll probably, you know, just knowing Alex, he'll wait to the end. But I think, you know, it's going to end up as they had kind of hoped it would, where, you know, he comes back, he gets a chance to be part of Mike Pettine's program, and they show him that there's progress and they're going in the right direction and there's not going to be change every year, and it, you know, there's going to be stability, and hopefully he'll re-sign for long term.
As we look, next week is going to be the beginning of the off-season workout program for players, and of course, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of attendance is there as players do come in. But you're thinking, again, with a new head coach, a new administration, and new people guiding this program for these players, Doug, and we're all going to learn about these folks as we go along as well. But just given what your sense is of where the team is going, where the offense is going under Kyle Shanahan and so forth, and the defense, the style of defense that Mike Pettine has put in place, how do you see the approach to this program differing in any way from what they've had in the past? What do you think the emphasis is going to be when you've got this new transition here going on, Doug?
Well, you know, just watching, you know, what Shanahan did down in Houston when he was with Schaub down there, you know, a pocket passer, and then what he did with RG3 in Washington. I think, you know, once the draft is done, and it'll kind of formulate, you know, in what direction he'll go, then depending what kind of quarterback. You know, if it's going to be Brian Hoyer, then, you know, it's going to be a more of a pocket game, I would think, and rollouts. But, you know, if you get somebody that Johnny Manziel, then it might be a whole different type of offense that he's going to run. And that's one of the things, you know, that I think is so attractive about him, is that he has that flexibility to, you know, kind of build his offense around the guy that's going to be the quarterback. Defensively, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the pieces and parts are in place up front, although, you know, I think, you know, in the secondary, they still have to, you know, get another cornerback. But overall, I think, you know, they have the players to do, you know, what Mike and O'Neal want to do on the defensive side.
Yeah, and from a conditioning standpoint, too, I would think that That's a lot of movement for offensive linemen. So, you know, even the bigger guy, everybody has got to have that stamina and ability to run a lateral style running game.
Well, you're just saying the fat guy's got to finally get in shape, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was
you
being
know,
nice.
You look at our guys. I mean, we've got some very athletic tackles, and Schwartz and Joe, obviously. And Alex, is the thing that always is attractive about Alex is he's always downfield looking for another block. So then it comes to the guard position. And I think the fact that they lost Laval, and I'm not sure that's, major loss because he was a little stiff. Now you're going to try to get somebody in there that moves a little bit better, and then that'll really help that style of offense that they want to run.
All right. Doug, thank you so much. Yes. We really appreciate it. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Okay.
He is the one and only Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network joining us here on CBD on a Football Thursday. He is Nathan. I'm Vic. You listen to ESPN 850 WKNR.